Hello, everybody. I'm Eureka John, and you are at Eureka Street Creative Podcast. This is episode number 501. It is October 3rd, 2023, and it is a Tuesday. And this is my message in a bottle, my brain dump in my sandbox. And I look at all things Web3 technology. And I don't speculate. I don't talk about price. And I'm here for the tech, literally for the tech. So today's a very special episode. I interview Above Average Joe. And Above Average Joe, if you don't know him, is basically the community manager for Bankless DAO. I mean, he runs so many things at Bankless DAO, and he is a fixture. He is one of the OGs at Bankless DAO, and everybody knows Above Average Joe. And if you don't know Above Average Joe, you should get to know Above Average Joe. Super intelligent guy. I really enjoy talking to him. And we're talking about friend tech versus post tech. If you don't know what friend tech and post tech are, don't worry, it's fine. But they are decentralized Web3 media. Now, everybody has their own takes on what decentralization is and how decentralized is decentralized, and we're not going to get into that debate here. But we are going to talk about Web3 social media platforms or DESO, decentralized social media. And this is the bear market, not the bull market. So a lot of new innovation and stuff is happening right now, but it's really hard to get traction and get launched. And Joe's thesis is that this is going to be the new DeFi summer, except it's going to be with decentralized social media. And in the way that NFTs gave creators the power to monetize their own content directly with their audience, decentralized Web3 platforms are going to allow the users, the people creating on the social media platforms, to be able to monetize their content and their identities as well. So let's go take a look over here. Let's take a look over here real quick at what friend tech is. We'll start with friend tech because post tech is really, really new. It's like at the bleeding edge. And friend tech, before friend tech and post tech, there's been other attempts at decentralized social media. I don't know if you know BitClout and DESO, the DESO blockchain. And then we have Lens Protocol. We have a lot of attempts of trying to build up this idea of what decentralized social media looks like. And so I think the latest iterations of this is, and we can get into all that in probably other episodes, but this episode is going to focus specifically on friend tech and post.tech. So friend.tech and post.tech. And a lot of people have a lot of opinions about this stuff. So here's Decrypt. They put out an article September 20th. What is friend tech? The social token driven decentralized social network. So let's see here. It says, social token-driven platforms allow users, including individuals as well as brands and businesses, to create and monetize online communities using blockchain technology. Supporters view social tokens as a probable key driver of Web3 adoption and an important way to bring newbies to the cryptocurrency world into the fold. In short, social tokens combine aspects of traditional cryptocurrencies with patronage systems, allowing influencers, creators, and others to monetize a fan base for exclusive offers and content. Okay, so yeah, it looks like a further development of some of the things that NFTs really can offer as well. FriendTech takes this pre-existing aspect of Twitter and fleshes it out with a set of standardized crypto platform features, including airdrop rewards, fee sharing, and more. Like many other recent social media platforms, it requires that users have an invite code in order to join. This has helped to contribute to a highly competitive landscape in which eager would-be adopters search for codes, helping to promote the platform in the process. So basically, it allows somebody to be able to connect with somebody else, possibly a famous person, and you're basically buying the right to communicate with them. And if they don't reciprocate that communication, then their reputation could be tarnished and their value could drop. So it's kind of like a social credit system in a way. Right here, you can see the interface for friend.tech. Basically, it has some chat rooms. I've had to buy the keys for It's Donnie and Humpty Calderon and Elemental and DDA Crux here. in order to be able to converse with them. And so some people have bought my keys here, and here's a chat that loads up. I made a post earlier about my NFT that I was selling, and a couple people here bought my key, said GM, and really that's about it. So that's basically the interface of friend.tech. I mean, to be honest, it doesn't really seem super amazing. Here's some chats that Humpty Calderon had. You can't really see what other people have said to him. You can only see his responses. And then I will go over here to post.tech, and it is a completely different world. I mean, it looks just like Twitter. I mean, here's post.tech, here's Twitter. They use the Twitter open source code. It looks really good. And so I got some messages here, and yeah, I was messaging back and forth with Above Average Joe, and but the thing about it is anybody that holds shares of my profile can also jump in this chat too. And so here we have Infinite Homie jumping into this chat as well. I was asking Joe about some questions about post.tech. So this is a great segue. Instead of having all the questions here, why don't I just ask him in person? Well, not in person, but on video chat. So let's move on over there. Anyway, yeah, thanks for jumping on. I'm poking around post-tech here, and I know that I learned about it through you. So by seeing your post on Twitter. So yeah, it inspired me to poke into it, and I'd been meaning to poke into friend.tech for a while because Elemental gave me a code, and ever since permissionless, I still haven't done it. So I finally got around to it today. Trying to get, like, wrap my head around this stuff and like compare friend.tech and post-tech and even like precursors like BitClout and Deso and stuff like that. And I don't know how familiar you are with those.
I never got a chance to mess with them.
But it seems like a similar principle, but based on the Bitcoin network. But the problem is, I don't think a lot of people really wanted to spend their Bitcoin.
No, and that network isn't really conducive to social networking quite the same that Ethereum is, I think. The launch of friend.tech was somewhat underwhelming for its first like week or two, and then it popped off real hard because they picked up some high quality influencers, but it definitely has a mechanism designed for that platform that favors the influencer above all others on the platform, which is naturally good for attracting more influencers and then their audiences. But it tends to be a more extractive relationship from the influencers and their audiences, which, you know, I see value in it. If you want to get into the ears of somebody that is typically otherwise attainable, giving them 0.1 Ether to get access to a private chat might be a really great way to do it. And I certainly played pretty hard with it for a week or two, and I found it to be an electric kind of environment, but lacking some of the networking mechanisms necessary for what I saw to be long-term success. Some of the incentives were around creating volume, but then the volume's fee take rate was high enough that it was very extractive. They did some manipulative kinds of behaviors, like displaying key prices a tier higher than their actual sale price was currently to make the value look inflated, and then dropping an extra tier down. So instead of being like one or two trades to be in profit, you had to be like three or four. And so people thought they were making trades with profits, but actually taking micro losses, things like that. And once I caught on to that kind of stuff, I was like, this platform's really built to be kind of like a casino. And so useful in the access respect, but I didn't feel like it had the longevity it needed. However, it's got big names on it, and that's enough of a draw that by itself, it's got a lot of network effect. Right now, it's got about 30,000 Ether in TVL, and their airdrop is projected to be wild in variance, but I've heard around $12, and who knows what that means. I have heard that in the terms and conditions in the fine print that they have said they won't launch a token for 3 years, but I have not been able to confirm that for myself.
Wow.
If that is the case, then people that are waiting for an airdrop next month are going to be very disappointed, and that platform may see its activity levels fizzle before then. Now, then Post-Tech was the fast follower fork that came right after. I know you've been around the industry for a while. You were around to see a lot of DeFi Summer, right? Okay, mm-hmm. So you remember...
Yeah, I jumped in right around when Uniswap was just getting started is when I really started getting into...
That was the start of DeFi Summer.
Anything outside of
when they launched their token.
Yeah.
And do you remember what the first thing to happen after that was?
Oh yeah, sushi swap as well. Just like the sushi token plummeted. Yeah, it was.
Post-Tech is the fast.
And then the Yearn finance as well.
It is the first fast follower. It is vampire attacking, and because of the way that the tokenomic incentives are built on FriendTech, it is an existential threat to FriendTech, and that's because if TVL comes from FriendTech over to Post-Tech, their entire mechanism of value accrual gets kind of shot in the foot. They could recover, but it would do a lot of damage to their growth model. And so in the last couple of days, as TVL has been growing on Post-Tech, we have seen accounts popping up on the site that are there just to talk bad about the site they're on. And we've seen accounts popping up on Twitter that are starting to directly target it. And it feels very much like they are being paid via some of the fees accrued from FriendTech to try and silence the competition. Trouble is that when the competition is this small, the best way you can fight them is to not say anything about it. And by talking about it at all, they are pouring gasoline on the fire. And as a result, we've seen the TVL go up from about 140 Ether to 220 Ether in the last week or so, which is how long I've been on it. I missed the first week, but I've been watching it evolve since then. And I was really like conservative at the beginning phase. They hadn't even launched a search feature. The app was really buggy. There were a lot of bot accounts, very like kind of fishy looking type stuff. Mm-hmm. But I sat on it and helped sift around pre-search feature to find people that were real. And then, you know, tried to use that to curate my experience there and connect people, and that became a value accrual mechanism for me.
I saw that you said you had like 700, you followed like 700 people at the beginning, at the outset, and you just completely dumped it all to start completely over.
Because I had started, and as a signal to try and get people aware that I was a real person, I was just following every account that I saw on the platform to try and, number one, get them to get a notification and pop up and be like, oh, hey, there's something happening over there. Number two, to have numbers that were changing, and so people would go, that is a real individual. And then third, it was changing what was showing up on my timeline. So I was getting more exposure to other things being posted, which a lot of it was body, but every once in a while you'd see one and go, that was a real human that posted that. And that became more valuable. And so anyway, when they launched the search feature, I realized that this thing really was going to be a sushi. This wasn't just a try to get 100 E3 in here and then pull the rug. They're trying to upgrade, deliver solutions, and they're not the first mover. They've got a lot of rougher edges, but they're building the airplane in the air, and they are doing the best they can with what they have. Like, they started with the open source MIT Twitter code, and so it has a very similar feel to Twitter compared to FriendTech, and some of it is very broken because of that, but they are actively picking and fixing those things by priority levels, and I'm seeing the updates come out daily, so I have gotten to the point where I have actually become a very heavy speculator in this sector. I would dare say that my entire risk portfolio is there.
So you say this open source Twitter code. I know Twitter kind of, it's been pretty closed for a while. So is this older Twitter that's kind of, they're doing copy pasta from?
This is the stuff that Elon Musk couldn't deal with because it was created under an open source MIT license. And so it's just out there and he can't do anything about it. And in the open source fashion, they built on that. And unlike the Frentech platform, which is Paradigm investor backed and built on Base Chain, which is a Coinbase product and a relatively centralized network, the Posttech platform is built on Arbitrum One. And so it is naturally an inheritor of the security of the Ethereum network and all of the security of Arbitrum on top of that, and has access to all of the TVL.
Yeah. And it's part of the larger Arbitrum ecosystem as well. So it's just one of many, many, I guess, dApps is an antiquated word now in Web3, but it seems like maybe one of those many dApps on it Arbitrum,
is.
Right?
And this is, for people like me who are community builders and managers, one of the first ways I have seen for us to really monetize in a way that is self-sustaining without being in a community that is massively revenue generating with deep pockets already. Like, I work hard at Bankless DAO and have for a long time. And most of that community work was either unpaid or very, very poorly paid, which was a side effect of the DAO not having deep pockets. But in this environment where peers are allowed to speculate on the success of their fellow peers, people that believe in me are helping me get the backing I need to make my first paychecks in this industry and really put my talents to work helping connect people of value to one another and get them creating greater value than they could individually. And that's the kind of stuff that isn't typically seen in companies as valuable. It's one of the first cost-saving measures, but groups of people like that are what did things like make 3M the giant that it was. Like, they had people whose entire job it was to go and be in multiple departments across the company and go, you guys are working on very similar things. If you plugged into each other, you could make something way better, way faster. And as a result, the products that came out of 3M were way faster, they were more innovative, and way more successful. Like, the Post-it note came out of one of those types of things because one of the guys was working in that sector, and he was like, I really want to have, you know, this note that I can put around, but the glue that we have for all this other stuff is way too strong. And so then there's this other guy who's like, I have this glue that just isn't good enough to really bond anything together. And one of these middle manager guys gets together and goes, hey, you two, get together in this room. And suddenly the Post-it note happens. Like, that's what the power of a community builder is, if they know where to be. And this is the melting pot for people like me to really get our legs under us and impact the Web3 ecosystem in a way that we've only tasted before, because I can devote my full energy to it now.
Okay, so what people see are the stuff you do, which I see the stuff you do in the Bankless DAO all the time, but there's just really not a lot of ways to monetize it. Like, what I do is pretty concrete. I do video editing, you know, I do podcast production and audio visual stuff. So there are concrete tasks which I can get bounties for and things like that. And, you know, not saying that, you know, I get the bank token for it. And sure, you know, we're all doing it out of a passion project. We're not exactly paying our bills with a bank token, but it is something concrete that I can do. Where a community manager, it's a little more squishy and it's hard to quantify exactly what's done. Is that what you're saying?
I would call it subjective versus objective value capture. When you are creating something finite, a product, a value added thing that has an output that is measurable, that's an objective value capture. When I help get two people together that go on to create something that becomes amazing, like Chippy Project or something like that. Not saying I'm responsible for that, but just good example. You know, you get an artist together, you get a marketer together, you get a couple other people, and suddenly this thing is materializing out of nothingness. And that value is subjective, and there's no real way to measure exactly how much I created out of that other than watching those communities grow over time. But even then, I'm not exposed to that growth. They are. And so what does that leave for the community builder? A lot of work and not a lot to show for it. And so it's something that most people just don't do. But I'm passionate about it.
Okay.
And this platform has given me a vector to make a living doing it.
Yes, yes. And that is something I completely did not think of as a community builder and somebody that is a subjective value builder. Sorry, I missed the word what you said. But yeah, somebody that does that, it's really hard to quantify and to give people the compensation of what they're worth in something like community management. I never would have thought of that. I was just thinking about it kind of from a dystopian view, you know, what this sounds like, social credit system, kind of acquiring people become objects and commodities to trade back and forth based upon their value. And you've completely enlightened me to a different viewpoint.
Like most things, it's a tool and it's all in how you use it. Some people will use it the way you just described, but those people ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
It's value positive games and regenerative ideas that really build the future. And those that come to the platform with the mindset like that, they're going to do well.
Yeah. You know, you can either make a quick buck by shortchanging somebody, or you can take a hit and establish a long-term relationship and make a wealth over generations, you know, wealth for generations from that, you know? And it seems like that's what you're doing. I mean, let me just start like at the very beginning for somebody trying to figure this out. So you basically have to upload Ethereum to the platform. So that's basically, you don't have, I guess, private autonomous domain over that money once it's on the platform.
You do,
right? So you don't have private keys. So that part's not been developed.
This
you
is do? Okay, all right. A technology that was actually visited pretty early on in the Ethereum ecosystem, before I had even really fully converted, and then kind of fizzled and everybody went, well, whatever. But then FriendTech came out and everybody was like, PWAs, oh my God, they're coming back out. And essentially what that is a progressive web app. The idea being, if you aren't a Web3 native yet, then this is a way to abstract a lot of that for you. And for post-tech, they don't actually have a fiat on-ramp built into it like FriendTech did. So it is a little more Web3 native than FriendTech is. But the idea being that the wallet is created when you initially spin up your account. And once you have created and put that initial funding in the wallet, you can then export that private key from the platform. So you retain sovereignty over it. It's an Arbitrum wallet that they just spun up for you as you created your account on the app, which is somewhat more secure because that means that the wallet associated with this social media is brand new. There's no approvals associated with it.
Yeah.
There's no other assets on there. This wallet is clean and dedicated to the platform, which allows you to segregate your risks. And I think that's good hygiene behavior.
Okay.
I think it would be wonderful if they gave more of a prompt to export your keys on start of the platform, because if you don't and the platform goes down and you never did that, you might lose access to your funds. But if you export your keys, you can put it into MetaMask and treat it like any other wallet anywhere, or really any wallet that will accept a private key. And so it is really a gateway for people to experience what it's like to be Web3 native and just as sovereign as any other wallet you hold.
So it's like FriendTech is, like you said, on the base blockchain. So it's there's not a whole lot of compatibility with other apps where the Arbitrum provides a little more universality.
FriendTech is Web 2.5. It's very close, uses a lot of the same infrastructure, and I ain't going to fade them. They will do well. But
Okay.
My portfolio is on post-tech.
Okay. All right. So once I bought a share or you bought a share of me, it allowed you to communicate with me. And then I was asking you a bunch of questions. Then I saw Infinite Homie chime in because she bought a share. So she immediately got into our chat group. So it opens up large universal chat groups for anybody that has the
owned and by, this okay, is right. One thing that is distinct.
That's really interesting.
Friendtech is a one-to-many communication system. When you buy a key on Friendtech, the only person you can talk to is the person whose key you bought. Everybody in the room can see the posts of other people if they reply to that individual, and they'll see the original post being replied to. But outside of that, you have no communication capacity with anybody else that is also a key holder. As such, it's very isolating, and that's part of why it is more directed towards the value of the influencer. But if the influencer is the person you're after, that's exactly what you care about, and no more, no less. And the fee structure over there is 5% protocol fee and 5% creator fee when you buy and when you sell. So you end up taking a 20% fee on the round trip to buy and sell the key. But then the tier jumps on the bonding curve may change the net value change on the inflow and outflow. This means that speculating on the keys is possible, and we are seeing plenty of that happening. Sure. But one difference between the Friendtech and Posttech platform, as I mentioned, is that communication, whereas Posttech is many to many. So you buy the key of the room and you can speak to every other key holder in that room. It allows for a completely different networking game and a social dynamic that is not possible on Friendtech. And the tokenomics are a little bit different. The fees are higher, but you'll find that less extractive in the end. And this is why. The breakdown goes 4.75% is the protocol fee, so just a hair lower. 0.25% for a referral fee. So if somebody uses your invite code, you get 0.25% of their activity on the platform for their life on the platform, which means that in net, it becomes a 5% fee, identical to Friendtech, but with a little bit of a value capture for those who are helping onboard their friends. And then there is a 5% royalty to the key creator, just the same as Friendtech. And then there is one more 5% fee, and this one is distributed pro rata to the current key holder set. So, unlike Friendtech, in this world, speculating on your friends is dividend bearing.
Interesting. Yeah, I saw somebody immediately buy my my share, I guess, when I jumped on, and then they sold it a few hours later whenever it went up, and I just saw that arbitrage action like immediately.
Absolutely. Yes. And you made 5% coming and 5% going, so they paid you both ways, and as a result people are making massive amounts of money because there is an airdrop coming for this platform, and that means that keys have a floor value, because to buy a key and get an airdrop, which is free money, has an arbitrage value there as well. There are currently 100,000 different accounts on Posttech, a little over 103 at most recent check that I did, and about 5,000 to 10,000 accounts per day of growth. They are giving away $1.25 million dollars during this epoch, which has 4 days left in it, which means that if you do a little back of napkin math and ignore a lot of nuance, that the floor value of the average key is between $2 and $10, depending on how much wash trading is happening along the way. And so people are buying keys at 50 cents and selling them at 50 cents and farming these airdrop points. There are others who are holding 200 keys, which gets you a 50 million point bonus, which is usually about four times the amount of points you would get by buying and selling and farming these points for the airdrop. So there is a lot of incentivized engagement on this platform going around, and they are incentivizing this engagement with the airdrop of their governance token, which will have a 1 billion supply. It's going to have an initial launch price of 5 cents, backed by 30% of protocol fees accrued between now and the token generation event. So this thing is going to have a backed floor value, which currently, based off of the protocol fee intake right now, is around 90 Ether. So there is 90 Ether paired against this at 5 cents that is backing this token.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen or heard whisper of this, but I hope against hope that this 30% of protocol fees that they have earmarked until launch will, after launch, be redirected into protocol fees for stakers of this native asset. And then 30% of protocol revenue gets added to those who hold the native asset of the platform. And suddenly you have a democratized, decentralized Twitter.
There's a word, and it's a financial term, and you probably know it. The whole idea of keeping money moving. What is that term?
Monetary velocity.
Velocity. That's the word I'm looking for. So this platform is really banking on velocity for the most part, right? And instead of the value of some particular share, right?
The incentives on both Frentech and Posttech are pointed towards value capture on volume and monetary velocity. So yes, the biggest difference is that Frentech only allows that value capture to go to the content creator, the key holder. It is very centralizing in the value flow. Because there is a redistribution for those who hold keys on Posttech, there is a democratization of that value capture. And that allows for you to use that passive income from people trading your friends to maintain the velocity on the platform. Yeah. So it does become a flywheel that feeds itself, whereas Frentech starves the people that put into the flywheel. And that is why within 3 months, Posttech will have completely eclipsed the Frentech market, I think. And if that is correct, then that means that Posttech is about to go from 225 Ether locked to over 30,000. I'll let you do some math on what that means to the value of the platform.
That's outside of my pay grade. I don't have that much advanced mathematics courses in my background.
I don't either, but I know a good deal when I hear one, and this sounds like a good one to me.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to ask you a couple more questions, but about social etiquette. Is I can't afford your share right now. Maybe I can work up to it, but is it bad social etiquette if I don't buy your share right now and you bought mine?
No stigma at all.
You know, is it like, you know, because
these are the Wagner vibes that you look for inside of the industry, the kind of positive impact that comes without a stigma. Like, nobody's means are going to be the same. And if you don't have the deepest pockets, you shouldn't be shamed for that. If you can't afford to buy someone back, that's okay. That just means that it's going to take a little bit more growing before you can reciprocate if you so choose. But if you never do, that key holder is doing you a disservice if they hold it against you. And same goes if you sell a share of somebody, because they might be taking profits in order to speculate on somebody else they believe in, and then planning to take the profits from when that person grows and buy the first individual back. And as they do the whole way, they are paying fees every time they move. So if you are being down on somebody that is paying you because they are moving an asset, then you're really not taking a wise approach to the platform, because you're biting the hand.
Understand it, right?
And maybe there are some who are going to play that game, because if their entire objective is to generate volume, being bipolar can generate some volume. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of different metagames that come out on here. And social scientists are going to have a field day looking at the evolution of this platform and what it does to the dynamics at play.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a psychologist's wet dream right now.
Absolutely it is. And because we have multiple platforms with different incentives running simultaneously, we can also see in a non-controlled experiment open environment what the impact of those kinds of tokenomic effects actually have on the ecosystem. And that's going to be something that I doubt data scientists have caught on to yet, but that they're going to find a gold mine in.
Absolutely. Okay, so one more question. What if you don't want contact? Maybe you blocked them on your, you know, MeetSpace, Facebook, or whatever, and they coming over here and they buy your share, and now you're kind of like they forced your way. Their way into
I
the
don't know yet. I'm sure that's a problem that's going to occur. In my earliest days, about day three, there was one guy who actually did have a sort of effect like that. He wanted me to sell his share. He thought that because I was willing to buy some of those bot accounts in order to get some of those airdrop points, that I was performing as a bad actor. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted me to sell his share. And I didn't have to. He couldn't make me quit. As far as I can tell, that is still the situation. And they may have to remedy that at this point. But from what I can tell, the keys are immutable.
Yeah,
that means that unlike most places where you can just block them and ignore them, this is a world where you're going to have to deal with the people around you. And that's going to lead to a different kind of problem solving. Like, if you have a gripe with them, you're going to have to work it out. You can't just move on. If it's somebody that's harassing you, maybe it's because everybody can see that harassment, they become scarlet lettered inside of this market because, dude, look at that person. Yeah. Why would you ever want to trade or hold that person? Look what they're doing to this good individual. Or if they're just a couple of people scrapping.
It's like hyper-capitalism.
Yeah, exactly. And so if they destroy their value,
the market works itself out.
And thus, the court of public opinion becomes your judge and jury inside of this sector. And you can't make them leave.
And your censor.
But you can certainly make it so that it's really unpopular to listen to anything they have to say. And so they just get tuned out.
That is absolutely incredible and a great way to answer that question, because the market works itself out. I mean, we are literally in the Wild West right now. And I don't know if you know about the cathedral and the bazaar, you know, and I'm sure you do, but you know, the cathedral being the establishment and the bazaar being the open space where innovation happens. And then in the bazaar, you have all the burglars and thieves and all that stuff, but you have the most creative expressions popping up out of there. In the cathedral, you have safety and security, but you know, you don't really have any innovation. So we are absolutely in the bazaar with this. 100%. Like you said, there's nothing you can do about it, but the market works itself out.
Absolutely. And unbelievably early on this fork right now, I expect that many of the rough edges that I have lived with over the last 2 weeks as the platform has ramped up will be solved by the time that this airdrop happens, and that the platform that many people onboard to will be a completely different one than the one I started out with. And that is a bullish thing, because the best thing that these developers who are anon can do is just keep shipping. I don't want to see them posting on the social media, LARPing about the accounts. I want to see updates. Yeah. And that's what they're doing. And that's why I'm bullish.
That's rad. Man, I think you just sealed it right there. I don't really have any more questions. Is there anything else you want to say about
it? BDAO strong, and so are Chippy. Do not fade them on this platform. They will be big. I guarantee it. You watch me.
Right on. Oh, and real quick, what is your post-tech avatar, or how can they get you on there?
You can find me at Above Average Joe The same as my Twitter handle, because I signed up using my Twitter handle. So the same underscores between ABV, AVG, and JOE.
Rad. Okay. Well,
right on.
Thanks.
And I will see you on the other side, good sir.
All right.
So that was Above Average Joe. Thanks again for watching this. I hope you are able to figure out if you want to be a part of decentralized social media and which one you want to be a part of. Personally, I'm going to be going with Post.Tech, and I'm 100% along with Joe on this. So yeah, he made some really, really good points. And yeah, you can find me at Twitter at EurekaJohn1. So that's EurekaJohn, the number one, or at Post.Tech. Let me know. I think I can get you codes if you want to join Post.Tech. Otherwise, just find me on there. And you can also find me on Discord as EurekaJohn and at Telegram as EurekaJohn. So, all right. Thank you and have an amazing evening.